Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Good morning and happy Friday, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Defiant Podcast. Thank you for joining me. I'm your host, Majid Padellan, a.k.a. Brooklyn Dad Defiant. It was day 14 of the Trump hush money trial, a.k.a. the election interference trial, and the second day of testimony for porn star turned star witness Stormy Daniels, whose testimony could ultimately decide the fate of Donald Trump, and with it, the 2024 presidential election. Daniels' testimony left nothing to the imagination, but it was the courtroom sketch of the adult film star that really lit up the internet, with the consensus being that the sketch artist did Stormy dirty, as one commentator lamented. Perhaps the court was trying to even the score after weeks of Trump sketches that made him look less orange Jesus and more like the pictures a toddler draws at the therapist of their creepy Uncle Touchy. Trump, who watched the testimony through a court monitor rather than look at Daniels directly, took to Truth Social after his day in court, declaring the whole affair should be a mistrial. Looking at the pictures, one could get the impression that Magda from Something About Mary was on trial. Or someone from that show snapped about women who shoot their husbands. In my mind, the sketch artist was throwing shade at Stormy, channeling the defense team's portrayal of Stormy as gold-digging trailer trash. The problem with that approach is that Stormy is a sympathetic figure for our time and a badass class warrior who refuses to hide or be silenced. She is the polar opposite of Donald Trump in that she's entirely self-made. Even her name is an invention. The Japanese have a saying, quote, "A man is whatever room he is in," unquote. And yesterday, the world got a glimpse of the real Stormy Daniels, and she was dishing out some serious payback. Dana Milbank of the Washington Post wrote that, quote, "For nearly a decade, Trump has been the nation's main chaos agent. He causes the mayhem, and the rest of us have to react, adjust, adapt, and try to stay calm. But for one day, somebody else was causing the chaos, and Trump and his lawyers were the ones who had to react and adapt. They had to ride out Stormy's storm." She was a worthy adversary. Daniels attacked her target with the very blend of vulgar accusations and crass insinuations that Trump routinely uses on others. In effect, she pulled a Trump on Trump. She was furious, out of control, and uninhibited by what even prosecutor Susan Hoffinger, out of the jury's hearing, referred to as her witness's quote-unquote credibility issues. Trump, glowering from the defense table, tasted his own bitter medicine. In short, it was fucking beautiful. Who knew that it would be Stormy Daniels who would rescue us from the vice grip of Trump's toxicity? All I have to say is, fuck yeah. Before Donald Trump, there was the Michelle Obama saying, quote, "If they go low, we go high." This was not that. This was mudslinging at its best. And Trump, it seems, picked a fight that he can neither win nor can he stop. Trump, who had been sleeping and farting his way through the first 2 weeks of this trial, was now wide awake. He was shaking his head at her claims and appearing to say bullshit, badgering his lawyers to get their attention. Quote, "I understand that your client is upset at this point, but he is cursing audibly and he is shaking his head visually, and that's contemptuous," unquote. New York Supreme Court Justice Juan Merchan admonished Trump's lawyers at the bench, out of Trump's earshot. You need to speak to him, unquote. And that was before the testimony about the sex position and the condom. Trump's lawyers howled about how unfair it was to see that their client, a once and perhaps future president, was being treated so rudely. Quote, we are talking about somebody who's going to go out and campaign this afternoon, unquote. Oh, because Trump has done so much to raise the dignity of this nation's highest office? Fuck yeah, Stormy. Go get him, girl. And now for the big conversation. My next guest is no stranger to MAGA attacks. Just last week, Walt Masterson was nearly beaten to a pulp by a faction of pro-Israeli protesters at Columbia University for wearing a Star Wars stormtrooper helmet and yelling about The Mandalorian. Masterson has spent the past several years building a following for himself across Twitter and TikTok, where he has amassed 1.7 million followers by making MAGA trolls and far-right lunatics look ridiculous by embedding himself in their worlds and putting on outlandish performances that celebrate their most fascist instincts. Basically, he says the quiet part out loud, and the results are shocking, sad, and disgusting, but almost always hilarious. You can also hear Masterson Weekly on his podcast, We Are Not Journalists. He joins us today to discuss his recent experience at the hands of the MAGA mob and much, much more. Let's go to the tape. Okay, Walter, I want to thank you so much for joining me here on the Defiant podcast. It's great to have you on the show.
It's great to be back.
So technically, for the benefit of our listeners here, I previously interviewed Walter on my other gig. called Storytime. It's a YouTube thing. This young man is so talented and so funny. It really is an honor to have you here. I want to start off by asking you about specifically about what it is that you do. Is there a term for the kind of stuff you do? Because it's not quite comedy, although it's often very funny.
That's why we named our podcast We Are Not Journalists, because we were attempting to do comedy, and people kept referring to me as a journalist, and they're saying, well, you should cover this as a story. I've got a big lead for you. And I'm like, no, there's people that do real journalism. This is not journalism. And I kept having to say that. So finally I said, let's just name our podcast We Are Not Journalists. We travel around the country doing Daily Show style comedy, documenting extremism, documenting the crazy people. And when, you know, it just happens to be informative. It just happens to be like a documentarian glimpse into the downfall of our democracy. But, you know, at the end, it's comedy. And that's the best form of comedy, that you have to explain to people that you were trying to make a joke the whole time. You know, we know that's just the top tier.
Let me just actually help paint a picture for our audience. For those of you, for the uninitiated, right? What Walter does is he will go into the belly of the beast. He goes into a Trump rally, and he'll be wearing MAGA. He'll be fully adorned in MAGA gear. And he will ask questions with a microphone. He'll ask people questions. And so they see that he's one of them. And so they feel free to, you know, to speak freely. But the thing is, Walter's delivery is so like over the top. Like, you really have to kind of have your head all the way up your ass to not realize that he's kind of making fun of you. But they don't, they've drunk the... Why don't they get you? What?
Why don't they get? Well, sometimes they do catch on, and I sort of look at them surprised, and they're going, "Wait, that was the moment. That was your moment of clarity." But yeah, I go through, and I liked early on. I liked having sort of real conversations, because I thought this is a different conversation versus a debate, per se. Mm. I do those as well. However, I liked being able to go and get sort of an honest reaction from them, right? Like we went to a MAGA rally in Michigan and I made up this story about how my daughter is being taught consent in her school. And they go, oh my God, how old is she? And I said, I mean, how old should a girl be before she learns about consent? And their answers were kind of terrifying, where I was like, all right, this is not okay. Like we were just spitballing, like, hey, let's see if it works, right? And they were like, you know, maybe at the senior in high school is when she should learn about consent. And I'm like, right, a senior in high school. Yes, yes. Or things like talking about the border, going around saying, does anyone have a personal story about how they have been personally affected by the border crisis? And they would just, you know, give me this Fox News NPC talking points. And I'm like, no. You personally, well, tell me what's happened. And then they're like, well, nothing. And, you know, and I'm like, okay, all right. I was like, and then I go, what's your number one issue? The border. Right. Number one issue. No, you know, that is like, and that was.
Never been affected by it, but it's super important to me.
I got to tell you, I underestimated how much they care about and how incensed and radicalized they've been towards the whole southern border thing. I was wrong. I thought, you know, it might be like an issue, one of many. I've been to anti-abortion rallies, mm-hmm. and they said that that's their biggest concern is the southern border. Mm. I was like, wait, this is about abortion. Like, and they're like, oh yes, right. Yes. Abortion. That's my biggest issue. I'm like, okay.
Walter, was there ever a time doing this where you were genuinely like frightened for your own life? Did you feel like, you know, this was a bad decision. I shouldn't have done this. Was there ever a moment like that?
Oh, tons of times. I mean, I have this thing in me where I kind of have this thing. It's lend itself well to the comedy I do, but I usually have a hard time making judgment calls. And usually, like, I don't judge that things are going bad until it's, like, too late. And I'm going, okay, maybe I should leave. Maybe I need to go. It's gotten a little too much. I've had that happen more than once. I had it happen, you know, up at Columbia University the other week. That was I went there in a stormtrooper outfit with a sign that says, you know, the Empire did nothing wrong. And I just talked about Star Wars. I didn't talk about anything else. I didn't say anything about anything. It was just about how Alderaan should be thanking the Empire for getting rid of the Rebel Alliance. And
you said the liberal media doesn't talk about how Alderaan was being used as a base for the Rebel Alliance.
Yes.
and the Mandalorian was using Baby Yoda as a human shield.
Yeah, and I got this guy wrapped in an American flag smacked my costume, my helmet off. They ripped it up. He was like trying to fight me. His friends held him back.
Damn.
And then my exiting line was, some people just don't want to talk about Star Wars.
Okay, so explain to me, what was it that made you choose that as your point of satire?
I just thought it's funny because I was like, you know, I was figuring, I made those videos where I would make one about the Hunger Games, about how District 12, you know, should not have went against the Capitol. And, you know, all of these, you know, dystopian and sci-fi fantasy things where I take the side of, you know, the Empire and everything. And I thought, let me just do that and people can have their own interpretation of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at no point do I say anything with regards to what side you should be on or how you should feel about this. But I thought it's just funny where you just take the imperial side in every storyline and every, you know, fantasy universe. And so, I thought, like, let me see how people react to it. and how quickly they figure out, okay, you know, so rather than just, you know, rather than just go out there and say, oh, this is how I feel and how you should feel, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, no, I'm going to say this. And then when someone engages me to real world topics, I'm like, no, but I'm talking about Star Wars. Thank you. You know,
it's almost like art, when art is like left up to the up to the person who is, you know, who's looking at it to interpret what it means.
Yeah. Yeah.
So was your Columbia Star Wars gambit the closest you ever felt to, oh shit, I shouldn't have done this?
That was in the moment, because I also felt that the cops, no one was really on my side in that moment. I thought, okay, this is bad, because no one's on my side in this situation. The cops are, you know, took me away. I've been at, I remember I was at a school board. I spoke at a school board in Long Island where they were doing their whole anti-CRT, anti-mask thing.
Oh, I remember that.
And
yeah.
they figured that out, and they had me tossed, and school security is walking me out. And I said, hey, by the way, since you're going to walk me out, can you just walk me to my car? Just walk me to my car. I was like, I'm leaving anyway. Cause I remember this look in this eye of this big meathead dad. He was looking at me with this just pure unadulterated rage of just, and I was like, I've just went in here and said words. I wasn't even being polarizing. I just basically said your words. I said, I spoke as you, the idiot, right? And I basically lampooned you. And this is the same guy who will, you know, argue that everyone has, you know, right to freedom of speech, right? Which everyone, you know, yes, freedom of speech. Usually in my experience, the people arguing the most for freedom of speech are it's mostly of like freedom from me, not for thee.
Wait, hang on a second. You explained to that guy that you were lampooning?
I didn't get to explain anything. The security was, you know, made a wall between him and myself. I wasn't even talking to him. He just saw that I had been disruptive with my speech and was like, this man needs to die. Another time, actually the funniest thing is, Long Island MAGA historically has been a time where I've never felt safe. There was another time when I had a cameraman run out of the building after I made a speech, and he was like, go. And this was like a bad comedy. We get in the car. I drive the wrong way through the parking lot, and it's so bad. Even the guys that were chasing us out of the school were even directing us. They're like, the exit is that way. They're just pointing, like, and I'm like, thank you, waving, like, right, thanks. Because I was like, this is such like high level comedy. Because it started when I gave a speech and I told my cameraman, as soon as I'm done, just walk out. Don't, you know, film me with a professional camera, just your phone. Don't look like media. And he didn't listen, and it's, you know, fine. And he got surrounded by MAGA, who were like, you know, what media company are you with? You know, you're coming here to make us look, you know, they were sussed out. And, you know, he was from the liberal MSNBC, CNN, you know, Soros backed media. And he had to like run out and make a run for it. And so that was, yeah.
What was the catalyst for you deciding to do this kind of, you know what? I think I want to call this guerrilla satire journalism. Can I call it that?
That's a great name for it. I never thought of that before. I mean, not that I would think of anything that I do as journalism, because then that, you know, that concedes that it might be important or something like that. But
we'll use that as a placeholder. It's just kind of clunky.
But it does sound, it sounds so nice. I like that. Guerrilla sats. I am the guerrilla satire journalist. Imagine if I opened up, I was like, you know, well, Brooklyn Dad, I think what you best be called is guerrilla satire journalism. the catalyst was, you know, seeing The Daily Show, Stephen, Vintage Colbert, Borat, the Yes Men.
Mm.
And I, you know, I was making TikToks. I wasn't doing that really. And then a fan sent me this microphone. He said, "I think this will be good for you." He sent me this microphone that's like incredibly, it's very good at capturing sound, and even if like a Mack truck is going by in the moment. And I thought, like, all right, let me try this. You know, tried going in front of Fox News, and you know, with the Fox, you know, pretending I was with Fox News and talking to people that went by. And I thought, like, oh, you can have different conversations with people. Like, this can be fun. This can be, and it's getting a certain point across that I think, there's a lot of stuff that you and I know where like, this is nonsense. And I want someone to say it's nonsense, right? Like when someone says, I just want people to come here legally. Yes, coming here legally is fine, right? None of us have a problem with that.
Right.
But you know, that's not, I'm like, I know this isn't true. And I know that my next question was, oh, great. So Congress is making a law that's going to expand legal immigration. And they're like, no, that's terrible. Like, right? After we just went over this whole thing of how it's a nation of immigrants and stuff, and just how it's all going to, you know, the country's just going to go to pieces if people are allowed to come here. God yeah. forbid.
Tell us what you really, really think.
Yeah, and that's what I like. I mean, although granted, I think in the past year, because my whole shtick has been getting people to say the quiet part out loud, whereas I feel like the last year they're trying to put me out of business by repeatedly saying the quietest things at full blast. Just straight up. I mean, Charlie Kirk the other day said, you know, we made a big mistake with the 1964 Civil Rights Act.
Oh, yeah. I think he's just, I feel like I've seen a lot of stuff from him lately. It almost feels like he's lampooning himself. You know, it just, like, you can't be serious, dude. He's trying to do, what's that called? Outrage. What's it called?
Outrage farming. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Outrage engagement.
He's trying to push the Overton window so far over that like regular Nazis just look, they seem normal by comparison. Right. I mean, like if that's my only thing of like, that's what he can't, like a normal Nazi is like, no, the Civil Rights Act, that was good. Why would we? Right. And then all of a sudden, I mean, Trump did that. There's a lot of people that are anti-Trump that you and I look at and go, dude, he's not with us. They're not with us. Right. And they'll say stuff that it's like, the only thing we have in common is that we don't like Trump. Then they talk about any other issue and you're like, good God, you're like, we do not claim him at all. Like, right.
We'll be right back, folks. Don't go anywhere. Just a brief word from our sponsor.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or Jeff Weiler, ColumbusAutoMall.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
4th of July deals are on at Lowe's. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances, including the Samsung Bespoke French Door Refrigerator, featuring Beverage Center and Dual Ice Maker. Plus, when you buy more, you save more. Now's the perfect time to upgrade your home with top Samsung appliances and hot 4th of July savings at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
What do you think is the hardest thing about what you do?
The anonymity, because I'm starting to get recognized a lot more. I went to CPAC and I was like, wow, there's at least 20 people here that I've made. Not only I've interviewed you, but I've interviewed you and it's went viral. Like it's gone millions of views.
Didn't you get thrown out of CPAC?
I got thrown out last year. And this year on a lark, I just applied for a press pass and they let me stay for 2 days. The entire time I was in CPAC, I thought, I'm going to get tossed any second.
Yeah.
Even when I went up to collect my badge, I thought they were just going to be like, nah, bro, what are you, crazy? Like, I handed my driver's license. It's like, this is who I am, right? Like, figured you might have my name in the system since you did take my driver's license the year before,
right,
to process my refund because you kicked me out with a full refund. So I thought, like, all right, here it is. And then it never came. And I was like, I think there must have been something else going on there. They were just like letting everyone in just to get, they were like, no press is bad press, you know, like something to that effect. I can't, because I just had free reign and I thought this something's going on.
You didn't get the refund?
No, I didn't get the well, I didn't even pay because I went in as press.
Oh shit, year. Right.
And they didn't charge me. I was there, like, you know, for my cameraman at a press pass. It was bizarre. I don't get it.
Let me switch gears with you onto a topic that we're both very familiar with, a common foe, Donald Trump. Mm. People in the future, they honestly are not going to believe that a Bible-selling, gold sneaker-selling, sexual assaulting, sleepy farting, diaper-wearing, insurrection-citing, lying criminal with 91 felony counts was the Republican nominee of 2024. Mm. What do you think happens to Trump during this election cycle, and what happens to him as, you know, a historical figure? You know, how are kids going to see him 50 years
from now? This election cycle makes me very nervous. A lot of listeners are not going to disagree. Then a lot of your listeners might strongly disagree with me on, I'm very, you know, far leftist, you know, my views on Palestine and all of that. You know, I call this a genocide. And Biden's down in the polls and he's losing Gen Z and he's losing a lot of demographics because of what's happening. And Trump has continued to be awful, terrible. And I have tried to repair what's going on, saying, listen, I've been on the campaign trail following MAGAs around the entire country for the last several years. I know for a fact they're infinitely worse than whatever you think is going on right now with the Democratic Party, which there's plenty to say, there's plenty to critique. But I've listened to, you know, and that scares me with the upcoming election, because he's not been subtle about his plans. There's the 2025 project. There's what he said. You know, there's the day one dictator. There's all of that. It's scary. It's terrifying. That's the Democratic Party's fault. That's Biden's fault right now. I mean, the biggest platform that I have to get young voters and to get new voters and to get people to hit the voting booth is TikTok. I have 1.7 million followers on TikTok. Okay. And I have reach. However, I have to go on the app that they just voted to ban and tell people, hey, you know, I'm on this app that, and we know who just decided to. And the irony is that I got famous 4 years ago for speaking out against Trump about his TikTok ban. That's how I got famous. Like, that was the biggest video I had. It was me yelling at Trump Tower, you know, yelling at Trump in front of Trump Tower over his TikTok ban. That was like, that put me on the map. And so the cruel irony, the full circle irony is, you know, it's not lost on me that it is the weirdest, most surreal time that we live in right now. And Trump is absolutely terrifying.
It was kind of different with Trump's TikTok ban, because it almost seemed like he had a knee-jerk reaction to the kids messing up his using TikTok to mess up his rally.
He didn't wrap it up in this, oh well, you know, I mean, he tried to with the whole, you know, China thing. He did try that, but it was obvious to anyone that this was because he was humiliated in Tulsa with his rally that no one showed up to. And that was a TikTok, you know, phenomenon where everyone signed up and he thought they were going to get 100,000 people there. And it was just, it was obvious to everyone that he was humiliated. His ego was, you know, had took a blow, you know, because of this. Yeah, it was so obvious. Oh.
So you said a few minutes ago, you said you felt like President Biden is losing Gen Z. And you believe it's primarily due to the situation in the Middle East?
It's the situation going on right now. There is a lot of, I mean, listen, as a voter, as a citizen, you know, the power you have is to withhold your vote. You can, you know, the whole thing they've done with the undecided, you know, marking voting in primaries is undecided. You know, that is the power you have.
To send a message.
You know, to send a message. And great. And, you know, there's that. And I respect that as, you know, a tactic to use to actually, you know, follow through, you know, here's a great context. This is amazing. I just read about this the other day. Mm-hmm. One of the former prime minister of Israel, he was one of the architects of the Oslo Accords, Shimon Peres, right? He was in the 90s. And, you know, he actually was committed to the Oslo Accords, you know, that were started under Rabin and, you know, creating peace. However, he did order the raid on a civilian or a refugee camp, and 100 civilians died. And the Israeli Arab electorate in Israel said, you know what, we're staying home from the polls. Forget this. You know, this guy should be charged for war crimes. Mm-hmm. 100 civilians died. They were understandably upset. Netanyahu won by half a percentage point.
Oof.
Right? When you learn about who won, you think, okay, you know what? So, I mean, that's the story, the narrative I'm trying to push to people. Shimon Peres, you know, was actually committed to, you know, this, you know, to peace and, you know, the two-state solution that Yitzhak Rabin had, you know, made with Arafat. He was committed to it. Netanyahu, I mean, I would say, I think probably the one thing most of us in America can agree on is that no one really likes Netanyahu.
No.
He thinks he's doing a good job. No matter, there's people that are listening to this that will disagree with me on a host of things. We can all agree, Netanyahu, not so much. I was on my friend Michael Cohen's podcast. Michael Cohen's a friend. We don't agree on a lot of things. We both agree, Netanyahu, bad.
Yeah.
Not effective. And so when you think about that, Shimon Peres lost his election to Netanyahu because, you know, and, you know, the people, because people were rightfully upset over what had happened.
So let me ask you this, because it's clear, you know, you occupy a space on the left. You're probably a little bit to the left of me. You're probably very much to the left of me. But yeah. But I also hear that you do realize that Donald Trump is an unacceptable threat to our democracy, and that it is important for people to show up. So what is the most effective messaging for Gen Z to communicate how important it is for them to overlook the fact that, you know, so we're not getting everything we want from Joe Biden. In fact, we really are disappointed in how he has handled Gaza thus far. But if you consider the alternative, it can be so, so much worse if you don't hold your nose and cast a vote for Joe Biden. Is that essentially
there's a bunch of ways. I mean, the Twitch streamer Hassan had said in an interview recently. Saying that Hassan Piker, he was saying that your local elections have the most immediate effect on you and your community. It's hard to dispute that. You know, you go to the polls to vote for your local representative, and then why not, while you're there, why not vote, you know, top of ticket while you're there? That's one way to look at it, right? The second thing that I talk about is, like, you know, these, if you look at the Republican response to everything that's happened, it's been incredibly callous. There's tons of protesters that will catch these people in the halls of Congress and outside the Capitol saying, you know, please call for a ceasefire. And, you know, you get very, you know, kind of dismissive remarks from Democratic lawmakers, but from the Republican congressmen, you get them doubling down, being like, hey, we got to nuke this place. We got to saying stuff that it's like, this is indefensible, where you're like, all right, no, you know what? This is not okay. And you have Donald Trump. He's totally, you know, down with the fact that the
protesters are in the wrong. Let Israel finish the job. That's Donald Trump's position.
Yeah. And I think for most people, it's very hard to imagine that there's someone that's worse than what we have right now. And a lot of people have this amnesia about everything. And people have amnesia about what's, you know, what it used to be like. And I got to tell you, it's so tragic. If this wasn't happening, we could look at a lot of the things that Biden has done that have been amazing. I mean, net neutrality.
Yeah.
He did the thing where he protected consumers with regards to, getting bumped from airline flights. They have to refund you in cash. The thing was with regards to...
Within 20 days.
Yeah, within 20 days. What else?
Student debt relief.
Student debt relief, which the Republicans took him to court and sued him over.
Mm-hmm.
They were vehemently opposed to it, to any type of relief whatsoever. And it was, these are great things. I mean, you know, junk fees, tons of, huge investment in climate, right? And it's
the biggest.
It's challenging to explain to people, be like, okay, there's criticism of Joe Biden with regards to climate change and what he's done. It's valid criticism. It's fine. On the other side, you have a group of people that do not believe climate change is real. And they think Joe Biden has done too much for the climate.
Yeah.
Too much, which is an insane thing. If you actually believed in climate change, you would never say Joe Biden's done too much.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that is very challenging. And then you have these, you know, third party people, RFK. I need to do more on RFK. I went to a rally of his and I spoke to his supporters. They don't believe in climate change, his own people, which is the funniest thing ever. He's known as the climate guy and for his climate advocacy. And then he said that we can fix the climate using free markets. The free market was an actual word that came out of his mouth. The free market's going to fix the climate. That is the weirdest thing to ever say. And his own people think that climate change is, you know, this sort of chemtrails thing for population control. Like, it's intentional. It's a conspiracy.
How batshit crazy is RFK Jr.?
Here's the thing. If you listen to him, some of what he says is kind of decent, where you're going like, okay, you know, he wanted to make it so that he said, you know, I mean, it's crazy, but you're like, okay, I'm kind of feeling the vibe here. Like when he said, he's like, I'm going to be your uncle. Like, I'm going to co-sign things so that everyone can buy a house. It sounds crazy and untenable, but you're like, you know what? If you're going to do something to make all of us own homes or make more, you know, increase that, you know what? Sure.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with everybody owning a home.
He's spoken out against BlackRock. His entire, any speech he gives is just laced with invective towards BlackRock. He hates them. Great, wonderful. And, you know, He's unequivocally supports Israel. He's completely anti-vax, So, I mean, you know, if you're part of the anti-vax camp, if you're a Democrat that got red-pilled into the anti-vax, you know, conspiracy stuff, you're going to love him. But yeah, his, I don't necessarily see him taking votes away from Democrats, because most of the people at his thing are not really Democrats. They were, you know, unless they were like red-pilled, they like were previously red-pilled Democrats, you know, at one point. I don't see a lot of like, you know, maybe like sort of Green Party people, people that, you know, sort of have that alt-left thing going for them.
We'll be right back, folks. Don't go anywhere. Just a brief word from our sponsor.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I guess the thing that concerns me about RFK Jr. is not so much that he's a threat to Joe Biden. I think he's a threat to peel votes away the same way Jill Stein peeled votes away. Critical votes. When you talk about that Shimon Perez instance where he lost by like, half a percentage point, that's the danger right there.
Certain places in you know, swing states and purple states, it's crucial. And his campaign, you know, as a fundraising move, they basically came out and said it. They said, hey, you know, you donate to us, we're going to peel away the Democrat votes to make sure Biden loses. I mean, it's a great fundraising tactic, right? They're like, hey, we want that Peter Thiel money. Come on, Peter Thiel. Like, give us those teal box, baby.
Yeah, that's kind of what scares me. I feel like there are enough disaffected people who feel like, you know, whatever the outcome of this election is, I'm going to be fine. It's not even going to affect me. So yeah, I'm going to throw my money and cast my vote in his direction just to screw shit up. And they don't realize they're not taking the threat of, I will be a dictator on day one.
Yeah, this seriously. Is the fake elector guy. I mean, there's so much at this point that he has done, wants to do, there's not real argument. I mean, if you want the Board of Education to be completely dismantled, then vote red across the board. You know, I mean, if you hate the idea, the concept of a secularized public education, then yeah, vote red across the board. You know, go for school choice, all that stuff.
I mean, you said you hadn't done a thing on RFK Jr. yet. If you were, could you preview for our audience here?
I really want to do more. I went there to mess with him. I went to an RFK rally. I took a picture with him, and then I picked up my dog and explained how my dog doesn't bark anymore after I vaccinated her. And just, you know, and I screamed it at him of just, you know, because, you know, the vaccine company, you know, the vaccine makers, you know, they've implanted this chip in my dog and she doesn't bark ever since she got the, you know, her rabies shot. So, you know, I wanted to make him aware of this. And what I wasn't expecting is in normal conversations with RFK supporters is for them to talk about how climate change isn't real, or it is real, but it's man-made, you know, chemtrails being, you know, launched from planes out of the sky, that whole you know, fun InfoWars narrative. And so it was, at that point, I wasn't expecting. I wanted to do more where I interviewed RFK supporters to find out what they really believe. Because I find there's a weird contrast where they don't, or juxtaposition. Am I using the right words here? Where he believes in climate change, his supporters don't. There's more than one instance of his major donors getting in fights over this, where you have one or two at a donor event, you know, so being like, oh, it's a hoax. And these are his main donors for like, they're the ones that prepared a fundraising dinner for him. And they're screaming out, it's a hoax while he's talking. This is your dinner. Right? There's a thing. I mean, it's so laughable. I think a lot of third party candidates, I think the fact that not much is known about them kind of helps. And they're like, you have to look them up on Twitter and actually learn about them to go, all right, this is absurd. You were not serious. Like Marianne Williamson, you know, tweeted and took both sides of the whole university encampments conflict. And I'm like, dude, come on. You know what? I would respect you if you had a side. You know, I might not agree with you, but I'm going to respect you a lot less for tweeting two separate things to try and have it both ways. She went both ways on it within an hour on Twitter. And I was like, okay, you know what? I thought you were, you know, a crazy person. Now this is like cemented for me.
Speaking of, I'm sorry to jump back to this, but we had kind of gotten away from that whole Columbia thing. And you, a few days ago, you tweeted something I thought was actually very clever. You wrote, it has become abundantly clear that Hamas has infiltrated Columbia University. The only solution is to cut off their food and water while we bomb the entire campus. I know this sounds harsh, but trust me, it's the only way. And
you gotta trust me, everyone. It's the only way we can deal with it. I mean, you know, the students there have just become so radicalized, and they're just, you know, you got to get rid of Hamas, you know, shut down the campuses, really. This whole higher education thing is just, you know, people learning about colonialism.
When you post some of these things, are you concerned that that some folks in the audience will not get your sarcasm?
That has happened. It's funny when it happens because
that's what happens to you when you go and you do your guerrilla satire journalism thing. Like you're literally, I see you trying to be as outrageous as possible, and that doesn't even faze them.
Oh God. Yeah. No. And sometimes that's like the point. I had a whole bit where I went to a MAGA rally and I straight up said, I talked about a whole story about how there was a homeless shelter in my district that we shut down because there were two or three migrants in it, and that these homeless people were camping outside of the shelter. And so we got the police to shoot tear gas at them to get them to go to the next county. And everyone's response was like, oh, great. Like, good. Like, you know, this is a fake story. And I'm like, and it's such an over the top, horrendous story. Right. And it's sort of, cause there's, a lot of people say I'm setting people up with gotcha questions, right? So I switched. I said, okay, this isn't a question. I just told you a story. I didn't, there's no question.
Let me get your genuine reaction to horribleness.
I did that. There's a video of me. I went up to Paul Gosar. We know who Paul Gosar is, the congressman in Arizona. And I told him how I shoot at immigrants from the window of my house because they cross the border and they have to use my house. And I shoot at them. And I'm worried that if the Democrats get elected, I'm going to be prosecuted because I think I hit some of them. And his first response, I swear to God, was, say a prayer. This country needs people like you that are ready to go into action. And that's the first thing he says. It's one camera shot. It's not edited. That is exactly what he said. Shook my hand, and you know, because I was being a patriotic American, and I've said that it is, and that is the craziest thing.
You know, I wanted to laugh at that anecdote, but I was too angry. By the time you got to the end of that,
I went up to him and I confessed to murder. You are a United States congressman,
and he prayed for you.
I confessed. I said, you know what? I may have murdered someone. I don't know yet. And that's your response as a congressman for the United States of America. So, yeah. So that, you know, not a question, but yeah, this is me being overly satirical. I was being completely satirical, and it also wasn't a question. You know, he literally could have said nothing. I did it to the other congressman, Andy Biggs, who had the good sense to just walk away from me.
Ah.
Andy Biggs is also crazy. But he like heard that and was like, okay, you're insane. and he pretended that his assistant was calling him. He's like, all right, oh, give me a second. Yes, yes, yes. What do you need? Oh, sorry. Stuff like that.
some of these members of Congress are clearly just murdering satire, because their own real time reactions and words and actions are so outrageous, they defy reality.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, I remember sitting, there's this new slick thing. You know, my podcast, another plug for it, it's called We Are Not Journalists, because, you know, we sort of, as we're doing comedy, we see things that the media misses sometimes. And there's a thing that Republicans do to great effect. The media never calls them on it, and it frustrates me. They will give speeches, and, you know, their speech sounds very normal, right? Mm-hmm. The person that goes up either after or both, after and before them, is batshit insane. You know, election fraud, you know, vaccines, microchips, you know, Mexicans are coming over the border and we're just giving them, you know, voter IDs, you know, the same day. We're meeting them at the other end. You know, just stuff that is just insane.
Yeah.
Categorically false. And then, you know, but they didn't say it. The person running for office never said it. But the other person said it.
Mm-hmm.
And they shared a stage with them. They didn't, and they shared, you know, they stood on the podium next to them, didn't look at them weird, you know, or, you know, make any noise, you know, any signals that like, hey, this, you don't speak for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't try to distance themselves from that at all. And, you know, riled up their base, and then they gave a speech. And they didn't have to be as, it didn't give the media the soundbite that they needed to nail them. Meanwhile, it's exactly what they believe. A lot of people did that. I mean, the guy, what's his name? The congressman who ran against Kathy Hochul. He did that all the time. I'd been to...
I can't remember his name. Little guy.
Yeah. So I'm like, so he did that all the time. It was insane to watch. And the media never picked it up. No one ever caught on to it. You know, so that's the stuff we go over on my podcast. But yes, if anyone, yes, please go. We Are Not Journalists. definitely watch. Definitely listen to us. You know, we document all the crazies.
Have you guys covered yet the whole Christy Noem and puppy killing fiasco?
You know what is so weird about that?
All of it.
Okay. She lied about meeting Kim Jong-un, right?
Yeah.
You know, you're lying to make yourself look good, mm-hmm. but she was telling the truth about shooting her dog.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to make stuff up, how about you make up that you didn't shoot your dog? Like, she literally, right? Which, so it actually means that she like read this and was like, you know what? I'm going to, you know, this makes me look good. I met Kim Jong-un and I stared him down, right? You know,
mm-hmm.
and then she read that I shot my dog, wasn't even sick, maybe what, a year old, just wouldn't.
14 months.
What?
14 months.
14 months, yeah. Just shot, just, I mean, is it, and yeah, she was telling the truth about the dog, lying about Kim Jong-un. That's insane. Right. And forget the fact that she also, you know, is the family values person that just got caught having an affair.
But the insanity part didn't even end there. The insanity part continued when,
more?
She went on her. Yeah. It's because after it was learned that she lied about the Kim Jong-un thing, she goes on, she's doing these presser things, you know, on CBS News and whatnot.
Yeah.
And they ask her about this Kim Jong-un thing that has been taken out. And then did you completely make that up? Well, I can't talk about that. Mm-hmm. What do you mean you can't talk about that? I mean,
it's not part of like a federal investigation. It's not like state secrets. It's not like it's wrapped up in the invasion of Ukraine or something like that.
But she has this like clearly memorized bit where she says like, as soon as I found out about it, I spoke to the publishers and they're removing it. And then the follow-up from the reporter, journalist, is like, so it didn't really happen, did it? And she says, I'm not going to speak about world leaders that I met or may have not met. You know, like...
I'm not going to talk about things that never happened. Like, you're a Republican. That's all you do is talk about things that never happened and might happen, right?
It's
like,
insane.
Like, the person that went... I didn't realize this. I'm late to figuring this out. I'm sorry. I'm so late to this. The person that went to court about the gay wedding, the website, was like, that person did not make websites for a living. They were thinking about making websites for a living.
It was hypothetical. Yeah.
It was just like, hypothetically, if I become a website designer, I might have to make a website for a gay person.
Mm-hmm.
As if a gay person's just going to, you know, compel them and like, you know, hold them down at gunpoint and say like, listen, you make me this website or, you know, I'm going to shoot your family, you know, something like that, you know? When I went to this person, someone showed me their actual website, mm-hmm, that advertised them as a website designer. And within 30 seconds, I said, okay, this person does not make websites. It was like a, web 1.0, like terrible. Like this person, it was so like a gay person would look at that website and they would be like, yeah, that's fine if you don't make websites for gays. I think that's for the best, honey.
It's a public service.
Yeah, I was so angry about that. I was, you know, because we joke about this. Oh, like, you know, it's, you know, Republicans are mad about things that never happened.
Yeah,
And like to actually have that proven, like I was like, you know, we were just joking about this, but this person was dead serious, all the way to the Supreme Court.
It's a common thing. They get in panties in an uproar about, you know, what was the thing about gas stoves? You know, that they're taking our gas stoves, and Donald Trump for some reason is always talking about this shower head that doesn't give you enough water. What is it? Low flow.
Yeah, the gas stove. Like the person who works in like the, you know, something consumer or something under the Biden administration. They have like under 1,000 followers. Said one day, you know, maybe gas stoves not so good, right? And this person holds no power. They're just like, no one listens to them. Right.
They work in a dark room.
Yeah, like they
the
do
basement.
That. Yeah, and then meanwhile, the Republicans like played a game of telephone with themselves, and they were like, "They're coming. They're going to come to your house. They're going to rip your gas stove. They're going to go to your kids and be like, this here, take these hormone blockers and just cut your tits off." Like just like all of this is happening, right? It just, you know, as soon as you go into school, they're going to be like, all right, here's a picture of genitals. You know, like, we don't need to learn the alphabet today. It's just, you know, and we're going to beat your kid up and make him apologize for slavery. Just, right? There's all of these things that never happen at all.
And that is why we are living in a reality where a former disgraced president is on trial for hush money payments to a porn star. And actually, that's not why he's on trial. It's because he falsified. Right. There was a cover up.
The cover up was worse than the crime.
Falsified the business records to make it seem as though it was a legal expense. And literally today, the testimony was heard from Stormy Daniels, that porn star. Did you manage to catch any of that testimony today?
Oh my God! What did she say? Please tell me.
You know, it's a lot of stuff that we had already heard because you know she's been on 60 Minutes, and one of the most hilarious things about her 60 Minutes appearance was when she said that he enjoyed being spanked with a magazine with his face on it.
Oh my God! Oh, how did I miss that?
Oh yeah, that was big.
See, like this is the stuff they need to end this whole genocide thing. We're missing, you know. We need to, you know. I'm missing this. It's getting lost in all the noise. You know, this is damn it. You know, damn you, algorithm. How dare you? This is what you took from me.
Yeah, yeah.
I missed that. Thank you for that. Really.
Oh, you're welcome. But
we were just talking about this before the show. We were saying that his supporters will say, you know, well, he's on trial for things. You know, you need immunity because there's things you need to do to protect this country, and sometimes they're above the law, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then you look at everything he did, everything that he's on trial for and being charged for were things that happened before he became president and after he became president, right? There's a few. I mean, you go through all of them. The ones that were during his presidency were fake electors, rioting, you know, during a certain... Like, so the only thing that he did to protect this country was fake electors trying to change the vote count in Georgia and starting a raid on the Capitol, you know, during the, you know, certification of the election. Yeah. So that's the stuff that he wants immunity for. Because the rest happened afterwards. You were not keeping the country safe by paying off a porn star and keeping documents at Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah. The presidential immunity would not protect him from that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we could make like an, you know, talking about, you know, in times of war and, you know, he needed to make a difficult decision and, you know, something like that. Like, you know, Churchill, do I let them know that we cracked the code and, you know, we have to let this, you know, bombing continue, you know, let them bomb, Germans bomb this area because we can't let them know that we've cracked their code just yet. You know, those are like hard decisions to make. This, not so much. Like, stop it.
We'll be right back, folks. Don't go anywhere. Just a brief word from our sponsor.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
Rakuten is the smartest way to save money when you shop, because members get cash back at over 3,500 stores across every category, including fashion, beauty, electronics, home essentials, travel, dining, and more. Your favorite stores like Lenovo and Wine.com pay Rakuten a commission for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the commission with its members, and that could be you. Cashback is deposited directly into your PayPal account, or if you prefer, Rakuten can send you a check. The choice is yours. You can even maximize your savings by stacking cash back on top of other deals, like store sales and coupons. You're already shopping at your favorite stores. Why not save while you're doing it? Membership is free and it's easy to sign up. Get the Rakuten app now and join the 17 million members who are already saving. Cashback rates change daily. See Rakuten.com for details. That's Rakuten. Your cashback really adds up.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. June is Men's Mental Health Month, and every year, 6 million men suffer from depression. If you're feeling overwhelmed, the strongest thing you can do is ask for help. And BetterHelp makes it easy. Take a short online quiz and connect from home with a qualified therapist. Visit BetterHelp.com to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
I got to ask you about this because this is literally like your neck of the woods, right? Last week, and I swear to God, I felt like this had your fingerprints all over it. And just bear with me here. I have been seeing pictures on the interwebs, on Twitter, of people holding up banners that say, "Real men wear diapers." And I was like, this cannot be real. This totally seems like a Walt Masterson.
Oh, my Walter God. Masterson. Wait. Okay, I'm going satire. To a Trump rally this weekend. I'm going to go to a Trump rally this weekend, and I'm going to do that.
But is that real? Is that real, or are they taking the piss, as they say in London? I think they say.
Honestly, I mean, at this point, I can't even tell. I couldn't even like. I think satire has just been beaten to death these past, you know, few years. It's like. MAGA has beaten satire into a bloody pulp.
Because I'm seeing pictures from all over of like there are people wearing sweatshirts that say that.
I'm texting my producer. Yeah. I'm texting my producer right now, and that is what
we diapers need. Over Dems is a sweatshirt that I'm. Oh,
that one I've seen. Diapers over Dems. That's in my video where I went. That's in my. When I went to the Michigan Trump rally.
Are you wearing it?
No, that one of the women I'm interviewing is wearing that, diapers over Dems.
And is she
unapologetic.
Legit?
She's MAGA. She was unapologetically MAGA. I mean, I had a long 20-minute conversation with her. She
legit
was
MAGA. She's not.
And she explained it. We asked her. She was like, no, diapers over Dems, baby. Like, she's like, I would rather have a man who wears a diaper over, you know, a Democrat.
Holy shit. I honestly, like, I was having a good laugh over the whole thing, but in the back of my head, I'm like, this is not real. this is not real. We have turned the corner into where, in order to justify their support for Donald Trump, they have turned satire on its head and are fully embracing the fact that their alpha dog leader is incontinent and therefore must wear diapers, and we're all right with it.
Yeah, and you're fine with it, dude. Honestly, you know what? So I'm going to be honest. That wasn't me that you saw the picture of, but it's going to be me. By the time this podcast airs, I will have a video up that where I'm, you know, real men wear diapers, and I'm going to get people to cheer for it. I can't wait to see that. Thank you for the. Oh my God, I was wondering what I was going to do with the net. When does this air, by the way?
What day is today? Today is Tuesday. This is going up Friday.
Oh, okay. So by the time this is up. A few days later, I will have that. But yeah,
people could probably
listen to this and figure out exactly what MAGA rally I'm talking about. But yeah,
tell me about your show. We Are Not Journalists. Who's on the show with you?
Myself and Maximilian Clark. He's another comedian. He's also an LSAT tutor, so he teaches logical fallacies for a living. And good person to have around. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
He just logical fallacies. Right? And he teaches logic, and so he's great. It balances me out, and we both disagree and agree on a lot of things, but he has been, you know, the driving force behind most of the content you've seen and liked from me.
Oh, interesting.
So he and I write together. Whenever you see a speech that you like, he most likely had a hand in writing it with me and helping me retool some stuff and everything. He's a fantastic writer, producer, and, you know, host, and I'm constantly having my fans harass him into making more of his own content. I've told them to, you know, dox him, show up at his house, and threaten him making more videos. You shouldn't look up Maximilian. I'm not saying that listeners should look up Maximilian Clark and just like go and like threaten him into making more comedy. Like,
do not
I never
do
said that.
That.
Yeah, it's just weird, you know. But yeah, we are not journalists on Spotify, you know, Apple Podcasts.
Let me just get this straight, right? The stuff that you do out in the real world when you are like, you know, with the microphone and in the belly of the beast, is that, are these stunts part of the We Are Not Journalists
content? Yeah, it's part of that, but it's more, I wanted something that was longer form because I want to explain more stuff than could be explained in a TikTok. TikTok's, you know, a minute, 2 minutes. And, you know, you can't really get into the analysis of it. I can't go into how, you know, what the climate was at this rally. I can't explain that, you know, when I can't explain in the same TikTok how I went to an anti-abortion rally and none of the men could tell me what an ectopic pregnancy was or had heard of the term before.
Yeah.
And the women at the rally understood this intuitive. I mean, you know, they're women, they understand their own bodies,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, the men were like, oh, this is a hoax. I, you know, I can't explain that, you know, but I go into the explanation how this wasn't meant to be a joke. I just wanted to have a conversation with these people about, you know, what to do in an ectopic pregnancy. Totally did not prepare myself for the fact that the men that are anti-abortion thought ectopic pregnancy was just a red herring and a hoax.
Mm.
And I like by the fifth guy, I was like, okay, this, what the hell? Like, all right, you know what? This is the new joke here. Like I wasn't prepared to that, but I can't explain that in a TikTok and stuff. So I, you know, go into it on the YouTube channel. I mean, and on my podcast, you know, it's 45 minutes to an hour in stuff. So
if you could interview one person in the MAGA universe, who would that be?
God, that'd be good. Ooh, that's you got me on there. I mean, if I got the wish list, it would
let me
Trump.
Narrow it down to between Trump, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz.
Marjorie Taylor Greene would be too easy. I mean, if I got into an interview with her where she'd be, I mean, honestly, like you could guide her in ways that are just comical because she's such a, like, she actually believes this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Gaetz, I think there's a level to which he doesn't believe any of this.
He's a lot more clever, I believe.
Yeah. And I think, yeah. I mean, Borat, I mean, Sacha Baron Cohen tried to nail him and he didn't take the bait as easily.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's because he doesn't actually care about any of these issues per se. There's things he cares about and he sort of, you know, he knows that he can, you know, ride this whole, you know, MAGA wave, you know, into, you know, the promised land and stuff.
That only leaves Trump then.
Leaves Trump. I honestly feel like I could, I feel like there's, in a normal conversation, an interview, you know, I could guide him down, you know, the path of idiocy and stuff. I mean, I could just talk about Nancy Pelosi and just mention that and just, he would go off like,
He has no shame, though. You know, it's like anything he says is It's fine with him, and it's fine with his base. He says the most ridiculous shit, and there's no penalty.
Okay, I have listened. MAGA people like come to me. They're like, you know, oh, I've been to MAGA rallies. I'm this, and I'm like, listen, I have been to dozens of MAGA rallies. I've listened to Trump speak way too many times. I've listened to the entire speech, beginning front to back. They've never made any sense.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at him and you look at Biden, you know, they're both relatively the same age.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only difference is Trump just takes a bunch of time release Adderall and, you know, just pops off and everything. Mm. And then Biden just, you know, both of them don't drink, but, you know, Biden doesn't take any, you know, time release Adderall. Stuff like that. So I think that's the only difference, you know, although I don't know. Sometimes it'd be nice if these, you know, whoever's handling Biden, like they just shot him full of whatever
adrenaline
drugs you give presidents. You know, like this, you know, when they used to do it to Kennedy and Jackie, right? You know, when they were going on long press tours and stuff, and they would shoot them up full of, you know, uppers.
Shit, really?
I didn't read something like it's like didn't you read stuff like that when they? Wow. I mean, it's not corroborated. I guess they talked about it in The Crown.
I don't know why I'm surprised. That's just a
you know, a scripted narrative.
Right? Yeah, I don't know why I'm surprised. I mean, there's so much stuff that we are learning on a daily basis.
I mean, and I'm fine with that. You're the president of the United States. You have a big job. You got all this stuff to do. You know, I hope you're everyone involved. You have like 20 doctors, your private, you know, chefs on chefs. You know, I hope they're just giving you things and they're just, you know, pumping you full of drugs while you,
well, actually, you know,
get legislation passed.
I'm sure you heard that that the Trump White House was basically stocked up on things like Adderall and fentanyl. And you heard that, right?
There was this whole thing. I didn't know about that one. I knew that they were like putting, you know, cauliflower in his mashed potatoes to try and sneak him some vegetables. They were just like, however you get this. They're just like, come on, just something. So they're looking at his diet and they're like, this is insane. You're like, you're going to die. Yeah. But yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. I like the way Trump talks. He just talks. People that don't take Adderall don't like angrily tweet at full blast, all caps at 2:30 a.m.
Yeah.
It's like people, like he doesn't drink. Like he's taking something. That's not a sober thing to do.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you're running the world, you know, maybe you drank too much coffee. That's not, yeah. I don't, no sale.
You know what pisses me off though? I get a lot of trolls on my tweets and, you know, I get a lot of
probably
them
more
saying,
than more than normal now that Elon made it into 4chan.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He made Twitter into 4chan. Thanks, Elon.
But I get a lot of them saying things like, oh, I miss the mean tweets. Bring the mean tweets back. And they're trying to say that that's the only thing that was wrong with Donald Trump. And it was clearly so much more than just mean tweets.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, he was trying to dismantle the democracy here. I mean, you know, and I'm going to go back to, like, when, you know, the Israeli election where Shimon Peres lost to Netanyahu, mm-hmm. you know, and then what's one of the things Netanyahu did while he was in power is he, the judicial overhaul, where he got his own people installed in the highest courts of the country
mm-hmm.
so that it could, you know, to expedite, you know, the things that he wanted to get done, right? Sound familiar? You have now, you know, the fact that that immunity hearing, like I listening to that was chilling because
mm-hmm.
you had them, you know, you had a few justices saying, this is insane. This is not okay. And then, you know, and you had the guy representing Donald Trump. There was no, whatever hypothetical you threw at that guy, he was like, yeah, that's fine.
Right.
He was like, oh, yeah. This is how he spoke. He's like, yeah, that's what he's like. So what if the president wanted to kill his rival? He's like, mm-hmm. well, you know, that's also, you know, that falls under a, you know, an official act. Yeah. He didn't back away from anything. Whatever hypothetical they threw, he's like, yeah, sure, okay. Also that, yeah. What if the president wants to shoot his dog and your dog, and launching them into space? Kind of a, you know, space skeet shooting type of thing. He's like, well, he's the president of the United States. You know, that's fine. That's also fine. And he literally spoke like that as well. Like he's, you know, grew up in a cigarette mine. You know? But yeah, it's so, and yeah, that part was more chilling than, you know. Also, the funny part is with this new trial, with the hush money trial, and they're like, oh, it's not a big deal. It's just a misdemeanor. Well, you know, it's such a non-issue that I guess it was a big deal because Michael Cohen had to go to jail over it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you know, Trump made sure that, you know, that he fell on the sword quick so that the investigation wouldn't continue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like, he's like, well, yeah, usually, I mean, Trump made sure that someone went to jail over this.
It's funny how everybody tends to, you know, the MAGA tends to gloss over that fact. You know, he was Michael Cohen was Donald Trump's most loyal soldier until he wasn't, you know, he was like, you know what, screw this, you know, and he stepped out and testified against him.
Oh, and love
that's coming up soon in this trial. Do you have a prediction for the outcome of this trial?
I mean, you know, I don't really see, you know, all that many consequences for the rich and powerful. And I see that the political divide, you can see it when you ask people like what they think is going to happen. I'm, you know, a big dirty leftist. I don't think the rich and powerful face consequences, right? When, you know, you have people that are more like liberal centrists, they're like, well, this is it. This is what's going to take Trump down. This is finally the thing, right? And then you have people on the right and their view of justice, and they think that after the trial, the judge is just going to drag him into the back of the courtroom and shoot him in the head, you know, because that's their version of how justice works. So it's funny to see them get all upset about what's happening to Trump when this is, you know, to me, it's like, well, it's just a misdemeanor. You know, like, you know, it's not, doesn't carry with it, you know, the same weight as the other ones, like the classified documents and the electors and all of that stuff.
Well, this one actually, you know, I don't want to fall into the trap where, you know, I'm Charlie Brown and this court case is Lucy, you know. But, you know, in fact, I did ask Michael Cohen about all of these cases when he was on Storytime with me about a year or two ago. And he did mention this one as being a significant one because it's all in, you know, all of the records are there. Donald Trump's signatures are on those checks, and they, you know, they're introducing witnesses that aren't as saucy and salacious as Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal. They're introducing witnesses that are, you know, accountants and people that can verify, yeah, that's you know, that's Donald Trump's signature, and that's the amount there, and that was definitely not a legal expense, and nor there was no retainer contract that came through for this or anything, blah, blah, blah. Nope. Case closed. And it's a state, I believe this is a state criminal trial. So it's like
I've asked the MAGAs, you know, what's going to happen? What, you know, will they still vote for him? All of them. To a person, yeah. I mean, they're like, you know, Secret Service is going to have to pull him out of jail, you know, to bring him to the inauguration. I mean, they'll write his name in, all that stuff. I mean, these are people that stood right in front of the, you know, courthouse in Atlanta, Georgia, did not care one bit, did not sway them. I mean, I'm hopefully
you're,
someone swayed by this.
About, you're talking about MAGA, though. So we're also not taking into consideration that all of the Republican Party is not MAGA. There are a significant number. Like we just heard the other day, there's a former...
The guy in Atlanta, the guy in Georgia.
In Georgia, right. Former, I can't remember, was he like attorney? No, he wasn't attorney general. He was assistant... something. Deputy governor, lieutenant, yeah. something
lieutenant
like
governor.
That.
Lieutenant governor, yeah, you're right.
There it goes. And he said he's voting for President Biden. And he said that this particular case, Donald Trump disqualified himself. So, you know, I think...
Yeah, well, I mean, that's how democracy should work. Like, you, once you cross these boundaries, the rest of the citizenry and the electorate should, and the other in your party should turn their back on you appropriately. But, you know, there's this whole rhino thing. They get called rhinos and they get primaried. Mm-hmm. You know, I honestly, I wish the Democrats primaried their own the way that Republicans do. I mean, I don't agree with the Republicans, but you know what? They show up to primaries. I mean, they also get billionaires to inject large amounts of money into primaries to get rid of the people they don't like. But I mean, what's her name? You know, just getting, she got primaried, you know, she was part of the January 6th committee hearings and everything.
Liz Cheney.
Liz Cheney. Yeah. I mean, she got kicked right out. And she is not with us. This is a woman who is anti-LGBTQ. She is very conservative on a host of issues. She just saw an insurrection and said, yeah, that's an insurrection.
Right.
These are fake electors. Mm-hmm. And that's all. That's it. She in no way has been, you know, a woke, you know, big, dirty liberal commie at any point. Like,
right.
She probably agrees with her constituents on a host of things. But, you know, it was like, no, you went against Trump. You know, you went, you know, they, I've heard them do this at rallies where they're like, that's a rhino. Rhino. That's their biggest thing. You know, if you're not toeing the line, you're a rhino, baby.
It's a weird coalition that we've cobbled together. But, you know, I think it'll get it done. We have enough hardcore Democrats.
I really hope so. I really hope that this turns around.
Some far lefties like you, you know, you got some Gen Zers that are going to
this whole
do
thing
what,
needs
what
to,
they need
this whole
to
thing
do.
Needs to like get resolved. You know, I can't go out and tell people, hey, I know you're really upset that you're seeing, you know, dead people in the news and dead children every other day. But hey, I can't, it's hard. It's a harder job, but I really have been doing a lot to say like, listen, this person is worse. I know they've been worse. I know they're worse. I've spent several years traveling the country on the campaign trail. You know, I was on the campaign trail during the midterm elections. The plans they have for this country are just awful. Right. You know, like, and they're worse than whatever, you know, Democrat you dislike.
Well, my friend Walter, I think we have just run out of time. So I want to thank you.
It's been an absolute pleasure, man, seeing you again. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you for joining me here. Can you tell our audience when they can catch new episodes of
Every Thursday.
Not Journalists?
Every Thursday. Just We Are Not Journalists on Spotify or Apple Podcast or wherever you podcast. I'm not going to tell you where to podcast. But if, you know, the normal Apple Spotify thing, you know.
Well, thank you so much for what you do, for informing us and also keeping us laughing at the same time. Yeah. I think it's an important thing.
Absolute pleasure. Yeah.
And I hope I can have you back on the show.
Oh, anytime, man. Anytime.
That's all the time we have today with Walt Masterson. Before I go, I want to leave you with one more thought. In Stormy Daniels, we may have stumbled our way into a larger strategy for defeating Donald Trump. We've tried for years to bring this man down for his many crimes. We've used the great institutions at our disposal to try this man. The problem is that the system, as it was built, did not comprehend a man like Donald Trump. He appeared to be Teflon, invulnerable. But now with Stormy, we see that the man can be wounded. You simply have to humiliate him. I'm not talking about the subtle, droll barbs delivered by esteemed liberal writers for The Nation or The New Yorker. Nope. Instead, we have to climb down into the cesspool and figuratively fight him hand to hand, insult to insult, and watch him deflate. It's not pretty, and it doesn't speak well of who we have become. but this is a fight for the survival of our democracy. This man must be stopped at all costs. As Malcolm X once said, by any means necessary. Thank you, Stormy. Thanks for listening, and stay defiant.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.